aspects, getting the ball out quicker against you guys to combat the aggressiveness of the front. What can you guys do to combat that?
Well, I think there's a couple things. First, some of those things you have a hard time stopping, but it puts more of an emphasis on your third down defense. And in this last game, if he was going to get it out quick, we had to find a way to win on third down. We didn't do that. And, you know, if you make them try to continue drives and make plays or make drives without getting big plays and getting the ball out quick, then we got to put bigger emphasis on getting off the field. We always put an emphasis on third down, but we have to find a way to get off the field on third down. So that has a lot to do with it. But coverage goes hand in hand with rush. And, you know, if we can get those guys covered well enough that they can make the quarterback hold the ball a little bit longer. I think the other part that goes into it is third down. You know, if you can put them in third down in long situations, they can't throw quick, you know. So I think all of those things go hand in hand, combination rush and coverage.
There was a specific third down. It was third and five, and both cornerbacks were playing about 10 yards off, and Aaron went right at McKelvin and hit Jordy Nelson for 13 yards. I know that it's up to the cornerback to decide sometimes if they're playing press or off, but in that circumstance, is that the technique that you want? And why do we see them playing off, it seemed like, too much?
Well, there's a lot of things that go into up, off, from disguise. You know, if you're up so many times, you dictate what routes you're getting. A lot of times those are deeper routes. If you're off, sometimes you're getting shorter routes. I think both of them are effective techniques. We didn't play our technique very well. We didn't deny in-breakers, which is a big part of this. And you can deny in-breakers from being up or being off. We've done that. And then you can play short routes from off, but you just can't give any ground. You have to stick. I think it was more of a technique than it was our actual alignment. You have to be able to mix it up. You can't give a steady dose of any one thing. But I think it also goes into what I said before, you know, third down and five, third down and one, third down and two. Those are a lot more difficult with that quarterback, with that offense. We need to find a way to get them into more third down and longs, and we didn't do a good enough job in this game.
Is there anything that can be done to help guys like Fletcher Cox, you know, with production schematically?
Honestly, I'm not really worried about any one player's production. We're worried about the production of our defense. We haven't had sacks the last couple weeks. We need sacks to be able to help our team. It puts them in third down and longs. It gets off the field on third and long. It forces turnovers. We haven't forced turnovers the last couple weeks. I think that the best way to help any individual player is the other players around him do his job, and he does his job the best. And the best he can. And you can't get frustrated, and you can't press to try to make a play, because that's when you start bleeding in other places. And I think that, you know, Fletch understands that it's the performance of our defense. He's not a selfish player.
Maybe this is the emphasis every week. Tell me if it is. But with a guy like Rodgers, do you particularly want to disrupt early? Because, I mean, you know, gosh, he seemed to get into a rhythm where he felt really, really comfortable.
Yeah, you know, I mean, that's the object all the time. I think it was, I don't know, one of the second plays of that game we blitzed, and he ripped the ball out to that slot player. We got a great chance there. We didn't make the tackle. You know, that could have gone a long way. You know, Jalen Mills had tight coverage on Jordy Nelson, knocks the ball away. Jordy falls on his back, and the ball falls right to him. Man, sometimes you're on the wrong side of those, and you know, but you know, that doesn't change our job. We have to do something to help our team win. We didn't do anything to help our team win. You know, and you could probably make a case in our other losses that we did something to try to put us in position to win. You know, we always didn't play our best. We might not have played well enough to win, but we did something. Particularly this last game, we were poor on third down. We didn't get turnovers. You know, we allowed long drives. You know, we talked a long time earlier this season about long drives and how our offense was controlling the ball and our defense was getting off the field, and it was a great formula. You know, we self-inflicted, allowed a lot of long drives. Offsides on third down, roughed the quarterback after we got a stop. You know, we had 12 guys on the punt return team. You know, and in my mind, that's a defensive thing. That's not a special team thing. Most of those guys are defensive players anyway. Gave them another chance to convert. All those led to points. And, you know, it goes back to the first question. When you play an offense that's highly efficient, that's hot, when you have opportunities, you can't make mistakes. We made too many mistakes in that game, and mistakes, for the most part, came on third down.
These third down penalties are not outliers this year. It's been a problem in previous games. What's that reflective of?
You know, I think that early in, yeah, we did. We had a couple where we roughed the quarterback that we were off the field on third down, and it kept it alive. I think it goes back to, you know, if you want to rush the passer and you're going to be around the quarterback, there's going to be some of those. Some of them are going to be unavoidable. I don't think any of these were unavoidable, any of the ones we've had. You know, there's a specific strike zone on the quarterback, and you know, you have to be in the frame. Sometimes you can get unlucky. You can duck his head. You can hit him in the head. Sometimes you can get knocked into a guy and go low. But, you know, I think it's up to us as pass rushers. It's up to us as blitzers not to put us in those positions. Whether, you know, I mean, and it's a competitive game. You know, you're going to get, you know, a defensive hold or a pass interference if you're playing tight coverage. You know, you're gonna get some hits on the quarterback that, you know, are sort of unavoidable. But there's been plenty that have been avoidable. And when we've committed those, it's put our team at risk. And we haven't won games as a result. And they're hard lessons to learn. But, you know, for us to get where we want to get to as a defense and as a team, we have to put that behind us.
Getting back to the sacks, first, six games you had 20 sacks. Last five you have six. Am I making too much of that disparity, or has something changed?
No, I don't think there's anything changed. I think sometimes it's opponent. You know, sometimes the ball comes out quick, and you have to do a good job in coverage. And you know, if they want to try to get it out quick, you have to, you know, get off the field on third down. And I mean, there's a lot of ways to avoid sacks, and I'm sure offensive coordinators go in and say, hey, this team can generate pressure. This team has made big plays sacking the quarterback, forcing turnovers and things like that. So that's going to be their objective to stay away. I think a lot of it also can deal with score games. A lot of those early games we had nice leads, and you know, it's easy to rush the passer when you have a good lead. We haven't had as many leads. I think Atlanta probably is the outlier in there. Regardless of how you get it done, we got to keep points off the board. And our goal isn't to get sacks, even though sacks help us accomplish that. You know, our goal isn't to, you know, stop rushing yards or stop passing yards. Our job is to keep points off the board. And particularly these last couple of weeks, I don't think we've done a good enough job of that. You know, we got to take advantage of the opportunities we have. If you're not making those big plays, you're not making those game-changing plays, then you got to find a way to make the I don't know what you call them, the nondescript plays, make them efficient and just out-efficient the offense.
Should start and play the full entire game over the Otis?
Well, you know, I think that the way that the game before came, you know, Jalen had a rough outing against Seattle and, you know, gave up a lot of plays in that game too. He's a rookie. He's going to have some up and downs. We're trying to manage that corner position, trying to, you know, get a good rotation in there. I think all those guys have made enough plays to continue to deserve playing.
Why don't you talk after games?
I just do what the league requires us to do.
When you see the fact that, you know, the players, obviously they have to talk afterwards to, you know, to face that kind of accountability. The head coach has to talk three times before we have a chance to talk to you, and even though that you're in charge of the defense. I mean, can you see where there's, you know, people answering where maybe, you know, there's an opportunity where you could be?
Well, I mean, we could move up earlier in the week, but, you know, I'm going to do what's required. And, you know, I don't want to take away from Coach Peterson on game day. You know, I've been a head coach before. I understand the way that goes. I mean, there needs to be one voice. And I think that's important. You know, I'm certainly not. I mean, I don't know. You don't know me well enough to think that I'm getting away from accountability. There is absolutely no question about that. We're all accountable. And I take incredible pride in what we do defensively, and I take ultimate responsibility for what we do in defense. But I'm the defensive coordinator.
When you see the number of mistakes that are being made, whether it's technique or just some dumb mistakes, are you confident you've got the defense's attention? Or have you run it through your mind that you might need to shake a little thing up to get it?
You know, I think shaking things up for the sake of shaking things up can be overblown at times. I don't think there's anything lacking in attention. You know, this is a competitive game. This is the ultimate competition, and nobody's trying to make a mistake. I mean, we had a couple plays in this game where we didn't perform very well, and we got to do a better job of it.
Getting back to rushing quarterbacks to get the ball out quickly, how does it differ trying to attack a guy like Rodgers who can run for first downs, who can escape, as opposed to a guy like Eli who's, you know, is not going anywhere?
It is different. I mean, I think the difference there is that the last couple of weeks we faced offenses that had quick throws in their offense, but also had quarterbacks that could extend plays. And, you know, even if you won in pass rush, you really couldn't. Winning in pass rush didn't mean you were going to sack the quarterback, because not only did you have to defeat a blocker, but you had to be able to get the quarterback on the ground. And sometimes these quarterbacks were going straight backwards, buying time, and you know it's hard. They're not trying to get sacked either. They're trying their very best to stay out of those long yardage situations. Every rush plan is a little bit different. The quarterback definitely has a lot to play in it. Every quarterback has a pattern where they rush. Some guys are step up guys. Some guys are escape outside. Some guys are escape backwards. So every game plan is a little bit different, both in a blitz game and a rush game. The scrambling guys do put incredible pressure on you. And particularly when you combine that with ability to throw quick. I mean, it's life in the NFL. There's good players in the NFL.
As far as scoring defense, what's the realistic objective for you each week?
Less than what we score. Every game's different. You know, I mean, there's going to be some shootouts. I don't think we've really had the high scoring.
Have given up more than 30 this year, so there hasn't been shootouts per se.
Yeah.
So do you go in with a number in mind? Not really.
I mean, I think every drive is different, and you know, every drive our goal is to get off that field and not allow points or to minimize points. Sometimes you can't do anything about a drive. You know, if the offense turns the ball over on the 10-yard line, it's going to be hard to hold them to 0 points in that case. You know, it doesn't change our job. Our job is to minimize scoring, to be able to get off the field on those. It puts emphasis on red zone. We've been a decent red zone team. We've been a decent third down team until this last week. We got to get back to doing that. We play good situational football off the field on third down, get red zone stops. I think the big thing that's been missing the last couple of weeks have been the takeaways and the ability to create lost yardage plays, to put teams behind the chains, put teams in those third and extra longs, second and extra longs. And when we do, particularly this last game, we couldn't get them off track. But when we do that, things work good for us. When we don't, we haven't held them to enough. Well, we haven't limited their scoring enough.
What kind of involvement does Doug have in game planning during the week on the defensive side of the ball and during the game?
Well, during the game, he's basically managing the game when it comes to timeouts, when it comes to, challenge, when it comes to field position, you know, different things like that. And sometimes we'll talk in between a series where he'll talk about offensive philosophy and what they're going to do and give us a heads up of them going forward on fourth down and things like that. During the week,
nothing in terms of defensive scheme and play calling. Okay.
No. But and during the week, he's aware of everything we do, and we bounce some things off of him from an offensive standpoint. Hey, we're thinking about doing this. How would this affect you? I think he's got good expertise in that. And, out on the practice field, he gives us a lot of good, I say feedback, but, that perspective helps an awful lot during the week.
What kind of quarterback is Andy Dalton? How does he compare to some of the ones we've seen?
He's not as mobile and is not as much of a threat as the last couple guys we played, but he can still make a lot of scramble plays. I probably put him a little bit more in the Kirk Cousins range when it came to that. That's not his main objective, but he can still make you pay if you're out of your pass rush lanes or you know, read option stuff, you know, things like that. I think he's a very efficient quarterback. He doesn't make a lot of mistakes. He takes what the defense gives him. He doesn't get, I won't say overly aggressive. That's not good. He doesn't make a lot of bad decisions. And, you know, I think that he's one of those guys that, you know, he had, obviously A.J. Green was a difference maker for him, had a lot of confidence in him throwing the ball up. Eifert didn't have him early in the season. Now he has him. He has some trust in those guys. But he's a guy that recognizes things pretty quickly and tries to take what the defense gives him. We have to take his first look away. We have to be able to take that away and be able to force him to hold it a little bit longer and try to make him make some unwise decisions, trying to make him fit some tight throws in there. If we can do a good job of that, you know, I think we can have a good day. Thanks, guys.